T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
It says here to take 2 for results in 8 hours. That means we should take 8 for results in 2. Yep.
With Dusty Hera.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ?
No.
And Cam Cleland.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
People don't forget.
The Fan.
All right, just after 7 o'clock, Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with you. Good talk on mega contracts.
Good talk.
This text, baseball revenue in these contracts are propped up by loose TV money based on no real TV competition. I don't think this revenue is a guarantee in the future if other sports can seep into spring and summer TV schedules.
No, that's not happening.
I mean, nobody's watching the Summer League or the AAF.
Well, the history of television has never changed. For our summer consumption, there's nothing else to match it. Baseball knows that.
And then number one programming is live sports.
Yeah.
You can't replicate it.
Yep. Can't do it. We all live in a Hulu world and a recorded world and watch it later and on demand. You can't get sports on demand.
You can
do that, but you're watching it live.
If you've heard my Hulu commercials, Hulu has live sports.
Here's a question for you.
Damian Lillard got it tattooed.
It is tattooed. Have you ever watched a game recorded?
Yes.
Like outright?
Yes.
Okay. How many would you say? You probably count on your hand.
No. Every single football season I do.
But you knew the outcome. But I'm sorry, you already knew the outcome of the game. No. You watched it for research. You're different because you're in the radio and the sports industry.
Yeah.
I'm talking about those of us out there. But you, of course, you've done it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But those, the average fan and the average people.
Okay. I'd say probably only a handful of times.
Yeah. You're not doing it. You're not recording a football game, a college football game, going out and kayaking, Jesse, going snow skiing.
Love you, Jesse.
And then coming back and watching that game. You're just not. You're not doing it.
That's true. And that's why you pay the big bucks, though, because guess what? There's a lot of people that stay at home so they can watch that game.
Yeah.
You know? And it's worth every single dollar bill, y'all. All right, well, more on that conversation coming up. Sean Farnham of ESPN will join us coming up at 7:30 this hour. And how much will it cost you to get Tom Brady to sign your forehead? But right now, it's 7:07.
What's hot?
Spoken!
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot!
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the fan by Area Heating and Cooling, your local trained comfort specialist. Online at areaheatingandcooling.com. It's hard to stop a train.
All right, the first 4 went down in Dayton, Ohio. Half of it is done. Fairleigh Dickinson beating Prairie View A&M 82-76. They get a chance to go and get pummeled by Gonzaga tomorrow.
Is it weird that they're an 11 seed?
No, they're 16.
I'm not 16, but I'm talking about tonight. I meant tonight's games.
Well, you had the other one yesterday.
Yeah.
It was an 11-11.
11-11. Isn't that weird that a play-in game is an 11 seed?
Belmont versus Temple.
That's what I mean.
Okay. I have got, you know what? I've got
a
note
on that. Odd.
I've got, I will explain that to you coming up at 7:15. But Belmont beat Temple 81-70. They now go on to play Maryland. And tonight we got 2 more games. At 3:40 this afternoon, North Carolina Central, who does not want to play Duke, they play North Dakota State at 3:40. Winner goes on to take on Duke and get bludgeoned. Meanwhile, St. John's, Chris Mullen led St. John's, and Arizona State play at 6 with a meeting against Buffalo on the line after that.
So you could
isn't that where Bobby Hurley
that's where
came
Bobby
from?
used to coach. That's what I want that ASU Buffalo matchup.
Yeah, let's do that. And plus, ASU winning would be good for the Pac-12.
I don't know how often the committee is like looking ahead to potential coaching matchups like that, but I love that it seems like they do that intentionally.
Well,
they
do. You have they do. Rick Pitino's kid taking
going against
on Louisville.
Rick Pitino's
yeah,
school.
How,
yeah,
how
that's
strange
the best
is
one.
That?
That one is going to be phenomenal.
Little Richard.
All right, Robert Kraft was offered a deal, and oh, what a deal it was by prosecutors in his prostitution.
Will he accept? Thing.
According to BostonSports.com, TJ Quinn of ESPN also reporting that it is, quote, a non-starter for Robert Kraft to take this deal. They were going to drop the charges if, for solicitation, if Robert Kraft and all of the other defendants would just say, look at the evidence and say, yeah, I would have been found guilty. I don't know why they do this, but the prosecution, I assume that everybody else is going to do it except for Robert Kraft because it doesn't go on your record.
Right.
But he's going to fight it.
Well, of course he's going to fight it. He's going to have the highest paid lawyers in the world fighting for him.
Yep. He goes to court on March 28th.
Do you think you can buy this one away?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, if you can buy off
this
like,
is your leader, you're the Pats guy.
If you can buy off like
this old Bobby
murder charges, you can get out of this one, I think.
Okay. Did you see they released the picture of the young lady that was
his friend?
Allegedly.
Well, as a Patriot
interacting
fan,
with Mr. Kraft.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
It's out there.
Yes, they've released the picture.
What are you going to tell me? Is there something more you wanted to add
no,
there?
No, I just wanted to say they there. Actually have a person that it's proof.
Okay.
And they're trying to keep that video. Look, that video is under lock and key.
Yeah, they are. TMZ is offering a ton of money.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, we'll find out more. All right. The Seattle Mariners beat the Oakland A's 9-7 in Tokyo, Japan this morning. Ichiro got the start for the Mariners. He played four innings. He ended up going 0-for-1 at the plate, but had a walk in his second at-bat. Did not score a run. But Mariners get a big win. First place.
Yeah, buddy.
D. Gordon knocked in Tim Beckham. Beckham had a great day. He went 3-for-3. The shortstop with two RBI, a walk, and three runs scored. Have a day, young man. Mitch Haniger, not as good of a day. He went 0-for-4 with a walk, but a sac fly.
Doesn't matter. First place. Say it with me. First place, Mariner fans.
I refuse
First
to.
First place.
I refuse to.
Hater.
Yeah, I am. Rams have signed Clay Matthews to a prove-it deal, 2 years worth up to $12 million in L.A. How do we feel about...
Yeah, I think it's a great sign.
Yeah, he didn't have a great year. He had, what, his statistically his worst year
he's
in Green
older.
Bay last year, and he's getting hurt a lot.
He's getting long in the tooth, long in the hair, but he's still a great... Did you see that his house is just minutes from the facility?
No.
So it's a short drive,
oh,
easy. It's back home. He's USC grad, back with the Golden Locks.
You went to high
Southern
school
California.
Right down there, too.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's a great way to send off into your career. And they do need pass rushers. They need outside pass rushers.
Hey, where's Ndamukong Suh?
Free agent.
Like, nobody's even talking about him. At all.
What do you mean?
Where's he going to sign? Do we know?
No.
He's just a free
Nobody
agent.
Nobody knows.
All right. Vontaze Burfict heading to Oakland. 1 year deal. Worth $5 million. Well, more on that one coming up later because he's now reunited with his best friend, Antonio Brown. All right, the Portland Trail Blazers return to action tonight. A 7 o'clock tip against the Dallas Mavericks in Moda Center. But yesterday in the NBA, the Rockets refusing to lose. I mean, this team is insane what they're doing right now. They continue to hold a game and a half lead over Portland for the third spot in the West. They are 45-26 on the season. James Harden, 31 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists last night in a win over the Atlanta Hawks. Meanwhile, the Warriors got back to their winning ways after falling to a deep hole early to Minnesota. Klay Thompson shot his way out of it, and Steph Curry finished the deal. 36 points for Steph as they beat the Warriors 117-107. And then, Buck, chime in on this one because I had no idea. The Nets were down by 25 in the fourth quarter, and they beat the Kings 123-121, outscoring Sacramento 45-18 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I saw this kind of came on my radar late last night, and it was, I mean, it's insanity. I don't know how at home as the Kings you blow a 25-point lead in 12 minutes. That's That's really hard to do if you're trying. I mean, you wonder if they could just go and wait for the shot clock to run out each time and they would have fared better. I mean, it's remarkable.
Is Buddy Hield going to have a problem?
Yeah, Buddy Hield, I don't know if anyone took him up on that bet, but yeah, he said that he would, he'd bet his house they made the playoffs. They are now 7 games out of the playoffs.
He lives in Sacramento, correct? Has he got a house in Sacramento?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he has houses multiple places.
Multiple places.
Yeah. D'Angelo Russell, 44 points, 12 assists for the Nets.
Yeah, they trailed by as many as 28, but still
that Laker, they didn't want it. Lakers didn't want that guy. Mm-mm. They didn't want any part of him. No. He's not a very good player.
No, he's going to win ball, most man. Improved player.
All right, that's Hot and Cool on Fan. It's brought to you by Aerie Heating and Cooling. Right now, Aerie is the most trusted name in heating, cooling, and comfort. Online at areaheating.com. Why are the 11 seeds playing in the first four? Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, you asked a question during Hot and Cool. That's a really good question, and I actually was Googling it myself. Because I had this same question, but on Selection Sunday. Why do the 11s play in the play-in round, the first four, in Dayton, Ohio?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
But I know that's kind of what the NCAA likes to do.
They like think to I know the there. Answer to this.
Okay.
But tell us.
Well, it is, they basically wanted a way to make it fair. You didn't want all of just the 16 seeds playing on the play-in game because you want to have a little bit of intrigue. Like, there's no reason really to watch if it's just a bunch of teams you don't know and you just have North Carolina State and Fairleigh Dickinson watching. Well, what they do is they take the bottom four teams in the tournament period, which are your 16 seeds, and then they say, we're going to take the last four at-large bids. And those are the 11 seeds in. If you'll notice, at-large bids are no lower than 11. And so that's the way that they kind of do it, is they take the last four at-large bid teams, and they have them in a play-in, mm-hmm. and then they have the last four 16 seeds go in for a play-in game. So it's just to kind of have a little bit of balance weighting it and make a little bit more intrigue for big conference schools like, you know, Arizona State and yeah, you know, St. John's that are going to be in to have a basketball right. tradition they play tonight. So it's a kind of
got your answer.
No more than that. But the first four yesterday, it got me a little rattled because I didn't watch the whole game of.
I didn't watch any of it.
Fairleigh Dickinson and Prairie View A&M, but it's kind of it messes with your brain when you watch them because that Fairleigh Dickinson and Prairie View A&M game at the very end, it was entertaining and it was fun. You had two guys on Fairleigh Dickinson in Jahlil Jenkins and Darnell Edge who playing against Prairie View and A&M, they look like NBA caliber players. Like they were all over the place for those two teams. They're going to go though in one day and play Gonzaga and they're going to get absolutely wiped with. I mean, Gonzaga is going to beat them by like 40. Mm-hmm. But they.
You think so?
You had like a competitive game. Mm-hmm. You have two teams that are going back and forth. You're like, this is entertaining basketball. You don't realize how big the difference is between them and a Gonzaga or North Carolina or UVA when you're watching these first four games. It completely messed with my mind because I was like, whoa, like, are they going to make a little noise? And then you realize this Jahlil Jenkins is 6 foot, 160 pounds. He's going to get manhandled by
Gonzaga.
Well,
that's why I have chalk going all the way to the Final Four because I believe this year we're going to get all four ones in. Crazy, but I'm not an expert in this, but you're right. Every year we get excited about a Cinderella. There's a Cinderella that makes a cute little run. There's something fast, but you get Loyola Chicago, and all they do is just throw a buzzkill through the entire bracket. Right. So you can't tell me that this is just it's an automatic year, but I think this year is an automatic chalk for four because who's the team everybody's talking about? There is none.
Not Duke.
And they're a one.
Yeah.
Duke and North Carolina are going to play in the national championship.
See, I think that, you know, this may be a year where I could totally see it just going 1-1-1-1 all the way across. But all of these teams, the great part about the tourney is that you have one guy getting fouled. Zion gets into foul trouble in the Elite Eight, right? He picks up four and he's sitting for a large stretch of the second half. And you're going, oh man, he fouls out of a game. Yeah. Michigan, you're going to rule out Michigan State, who's the two seed in that end? If it's the Elite Eight, Michigan State could beat them. You know, these teams can catch up. What if VCU just catches fire in the round of 32, cannot miss, mm-hmm. And what does Duke do? That's what I absolutely love about the tournament.
Yeah, the first weekend, everybody's looking forward to that.
And
we're all looking forward to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Just going to go, oh boy, hold on.
We have no idea what's coming. We have absolutely no idea what team is going to be the surprise and what team is going to just lay an absolute egg. That's why I love filling out a bracket, see how stupid we all are.
And I hate to just throw this one out there, but this is why I'm so jealous of college basketball and wish we had this in college football.
I saw ESPN did a hypothetical bracket of the 64 college football teams. And I'm here to tell you that the Pac-12 is far more represented in football than they are in basketball. Mm-hmm. They had like six teams in, I think, into the hypothetical with Oregon was a 3 seed, was the highest seed. And then you had Washington, Utah, were both
I love a good
five
hypothetical.
Seeds.
I love that.
I'm going to tell you. There's some winnable games for the Pac-12.
Feeling good about it?
There's some very winnable games for the Pac-12. It also helps that there's not 300 teams in college football. There's only 132 helping the Pac-12 get more in.
Yes.
I would absolutely...
It's going to happen in our lifetime. It's going to. We're going to get more.
No non-conference. You only play 8 conference games and then a 64-team tournament.
College football is not amateur
sports.
With
a loser
bracket. College football is not amateur sports. Too much money. You're not, just let them play 15 games, 16 games. It doesn't matter. Okay. Half of them are leaving anyway. If they're any good, they're leaving after 3 years. Drop it to 2 years. Let them play 16 games and stop selling me that the fact that these guys would talk about their health in bowl games. Just do it.
Dickie V made a good point. I was reading an interview that Dick Vitale did, and he said, if you're here to tell me that Zion Williamson is an amateur, you're out of your mind.
No, you're insane.
You are out of your mind. He said, Nike sent a bunch of designers to Duke. No, they sent a bunch of designers to Zion to make sure his shoe was okay. You know, and like, that's the thing. Like, that's not an amateur. Like, that is every bit of a professional. And what would it's a business decision when these guys start sitting games out for bowl games in football. It's a business decision that a lot of people said Zion would go through if he were to not play the rest of the year. Like, I'm sorry. You're 100% correct. It's not amateur athletics anymore.
Yeah, we don't have to pretend. Do we?
Or should
we pretend? Where is the amateur sport at?
A lot of people just want to have that, it's the last pure thing. No, it's not. Go watch. I don't even know if high school is pure anymore.
You know, I guess how I would describe this is, if you're going to have an amateur sport, then nobody's making any money off of you. Everything's a nonprofit. That's the only way I can mentally get behind that.
Oh, the NFL is a nonprofit.
True. No, but it was kidding. A lie. No, it was a lie.
It was a big lie.
Even these youth sports that you watch, somebody, equipment-wise is not being donated. Nope, you're having to buy it. Tournament, people that are running the tournament, they're making the money. Coaches are getting paid. You know, shoe money's coming in. You don't think LeBron's team, did you see LeBron and what he Instagrammed his with Bronny and his team on tour this summer? They're on tour. Mm. They are 8th graders. Come on.
I would like to say then that I had a very unsuccessful 19-year professional career starting with T-ball and going all the way up through college.
Yeah.
It was unsuccessful. 1994 was a good year, won a state title, Little League.
There you go.
Other than that, it was a very unsuccessful 19-year professional career under that criteria.
And the more we see $430 million from Mike Trout, the more everybody's right now with their kids going, grab a baseball, Billy.
Bingo.
Grab a baseball, because we're going to get some of that $430. Yeah, it's one guy in the world.
A guy that picked up a basketball instead of a baseball is ESPN college basketball analyst Sean Farnham. He's a Pac-12 guy. Does the Pac-12 have a chance of getting out of the first round this year? Farnham joins us next. First is Buck with SportsCenter.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Doesn't this song kind of give you chills a little bit? I love March Madness time. We're here. I know nothing about these teams. Outside of Oregon, Washington, Gonzaga, and Arizona State.
Does a brand come to mind when you hear this? I mean, there are two brands come to CBS.
Yeah.
Well, CBS and the Masters. That's it. I mean, this is just immediately just bang, comes right at CBS.
Well, this doesn't even give me Masters. This is just NCAA tournament.
But just the brand of how it connects to you.
The Blazers with the little...
Yeah, Bill Rafferty just going after it right now.
Yeah. Hey, and come party with us. Fan Madness, March 21st, 22nd. That's tomorrow. And Friday at the Independent Sports Bars, brought to you by Nike Hoop Summit, Encore Audio Video. Dirt and Sprague, Isaac and Suit, going to be there for the annual basketball party. I'll be there, too.
Nobody wants to hang out with us early in the morning, so they didn't invite us.
No.
We're not cool enough.
Bars don't open at 6 a.m.
They do in New Orleans. They do in Vegas.
Okay, well, there you go. All right, without further ado, let's bring on, he is a basketball analyst for ESPN. He's a Pac-12 guy, former UCLA Bruin. Sean Farnham joining us this morning. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Oh.
Sean, good morning. How are you?
Yes. I'm doing well. How are you doing? How are things in Portland today?
Hey, you know what?
It's beautiful.
It's actually not raining. It's going to be about 70 and sunny here, so things are good. Things are looking up for us.
My best friend in the world lives in Portland, Oregon, Dave Gorman. And I texted him. I was like, hey, man, like I'm coming on today on the morning show in Portland. He's like, I listen to it all the time. I'm like, okay, good. That's what I expect out of you. You expect greatness. And you guys are greatness in Portland. And my guy's a good guy, so it's good. Dave Gorman, thanks for listening.
All right, what's up, Dave? All right, let's get to this. Pac-12, you're a Pac-12 guy. Last year was just a boondoggle for the Pac-12. Do they get out of the first round this year? And is the Pac-12 heading in the right direction here? Will it be competitive in 2019?
I hope so. There's going to be a lot of coaching changes potentially, right? I mean, Look, my alma mater's got to figure some things out. It's never been a talent issue at UCLA, but it's been about maximizing that talent and getting them to play the right way. So the conference to be great needs Arizona and UCLA to be on top. And that's not in disrespect to any other school, but they are the national brands, and they've been long established as the national brand of the Pac-12. And when they're down, it hurts the rest of the conference. I think Washington's going to beat Utah State. I do. And I think that you think about that 2-3 zone, getting out of the conference play, going against the first-year head coach in Craig Smith. I think that's a good matchup for Washington. I don't see them advancing past North Carolina. I think Arizona State should win against St. John's. Would it surprise me if they lost? No, because, look, this is an Arizona State team that can sweep Arizona, that can beat a Mississippi State, that can beat a Kansas and lose by 30 to Washington State at home. You know, I mean, so they're kind of hard to kind of see the consistency there. I think the best option to advance in the tournament, and I have them all the way in the Sweet 16 in my bracket, is the Oregon Ducks. They are playing their best basketball. They've played all season long. As you guys know, it's been 8 straight games of lockdown, stingy defense. Their offense has been very efficient. I think the matchups that they have and the style of play in which they'll face is conducive to Dana Altman's system thriving. Ethan Happ will be tough to guard. But I think the length and athleticism that Oregon possesses will cause some problems. I think Kenny Wooten's going to have a big, big game. I have them as a 12-5 upset. Then I have them winning the second round, getting to the Sweet 16 before they lose to Virginia. From that standpoint, yeah, it's going to be a better year for the Pac-12. But this is not where the conference should be, nor is it where it needs to be. When we're talking on ESPN down the stretch of the season and we're questioning whether or not it's going to be a one-bid league, that is not good. I go back to when I played, and I hate saying, you know, back in the day in 1997, but you know, in 97 to 2000, I mean, I don't think we ever had less than 5 teams in the field.
Right.
In 97, there was 4 teams in the Sweet 16, 2 in the Elite Eight, and then one that went on to win the national championship in Arizona. And that's the last time this conference has won the national championship. There is far too much talent in the West region of the United States for the Pac-12 not to be at a much higher level than what it is. And that goes to everyone from Larry Scott in the commissioner's office, all the way down through the commitment being made by university presidents to their athletic programs on their campuses. And it needs to be a stronger commitment to be excellent in sports. When you have an athletic department that thrives, it also helps the academics of the university. It helps with the level of people that want to enroll in your university, because that's all part of the collegiate experience.
I think my co-host just got a man crush on you. He's been yelling that for about 3 years now.
So, Sean, I'm a former Pac-12 guy. I've played at Washington, and I love college football, but I also love basketball. And that was going to be my lead-in, because Sean Farnham joins us at ESPN College Basketball. And I said, care more. That's my hashtag here with this. And I asked for college basketball, even college football. You think it's Larry Scott? Is it a coastal issue? And is it just coaching talent? Because we look at Oregon, and I felt that way too. They're so much better than Washington heading into the tournament. And I go, Do you take the streaky team heading in? And why did Oregon figure it out late in the season? That's what I love about college basketball. It doesn't punish you for a bad start. Is it a coastal thing? And you said it's Larry Scott. Is it just the fact that it's coaching? Is it people? Is it so much? I want answers.
Well, I don't think it's just on Larry Scott. I said it goes from Larry Scott all the way down through university presidents as well. And what kind of commitment are you making? What kind of hires are you making? What kind of financial stipends are you paying your coaches? I mean, when you look at the top strength and conditioning coaches in football and look at where you find those that are in the Pac-12. It's hard to find them in the top 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. It's a small thing, but it's a big thing. And if Nick Saban's paying almost $1 million a year to his strength and conditioning coach, which he is, there might be a reason for why Nick feels like that's the most important, one of the most important positions on his staff.
Right.
And the Pac-12 needs to catch up. Look, UCLA just got a practice facility last year for basketball. Last year.
Insane.
Unbelievable.
Okay. Every other school that they're competing against, and I had this conversation with some of the people that are in charge of this hire that's going on right now in the initial stages, they were calling me and asking me, okay, so how does this job compare? You travel the country, you see. I said, well, guys, I mean, do you realize every other school in the country that you want to compete against has had a practice facility for 10 years
right. And
have already renovated theirs and made it better? We just are getting ours. Second of all, how in the world are our basketball teams not chartering to every game? Like, I don't understand this. Dayton charters every single flight to every single basketball game, but there's been this commitment made by the Pac-12 that they're not going to charter every game. You can charter the most or some, but not all. Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, that doesn't make sense. When you have articles written about UCLA basketball and their basketball team flying on Southwest Airlines, and a guy that's 6'10" that weighs 280 pounds sitting with a C boarding pass in the middle of a flight to go to play Arizona, I don't care if it's an hour and 15-minute flight or not.
Yeah.
That's not right. And that hurts you in recruiting. It hurts you when you talk about the coastal thing. There is a legitimate thing where it is harder to bring a kid from the East Coast to the West Coast than it is to get a kid from the West to go to the East.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to television exposure, and that is on the Pac-12 network. It is very hard to find. It goes for the time in which games are played. You're not going to be able to fix that because of the time differential. So in basketball in particular, the games are starting far too late on the East Coast for families to stay up late and watch. The brand of the Pac-12 on the East Coast is not what it is for all of us that live on the West Coast. And that's where you have to continue to work and change that. And what you do when you get a team that is superb or a team that can play at that national level, you got to hope that they get the exposure necessary during the course of that season to fully on display what your conference can be about. And you need Heisman Trophy candidates in football. Heisman Trophy candidates in football help basketball. I'm not one of those that can separate the two. So you need to have the elite level quarterbacks, the elite level running backs. You know, Gardner Minshew should have gotten a lot more love on a national level this year for what he did at Washington State. And yeah, I'm biased because I'm a West Coast guy, but he should have been in New York. He shouldn't have won the award, but he should have been in New York.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's got to change for the Pac-12 to change its perception at a national level.
Sean Farnham of ESPN College Basketball Analyst. Man, we could talk to you about this
hours.
Stuff all day long, but I know that you're up against it and you've got a lot of these to do. So we'd love to get you back on again at some point and talk some hoops and talk about the Pac-12 a little bit more. We really appreciate your time.
No problem. Look, I love this conference, and I love the West Coast. And I will sum up everything as the great Bill Walton would say, it's the conference of champions. We're just winning championships in sports that nobody's watching.
Exactly. Thanks, love Sean. It. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You,
Have
Sean.
A good one, man.
Talk to you.
He's a guy that spoke to your heart. Like you,
spirit
I don't know if people
we're
could
right
hear,
there in lockstep, spirit animals here. But we're 90s kids.
You could hear this. Cam was hitting the table. He was so happy with Sean Farnham. It was Bam Bam. You went bam, bam.
He wanted
us.
To blurt out, thank you. That's what I've been
I
saying.
I did. I mean, I'm not alone in this. Look, he played during the same time I was. I mean, he understands what it was to be great and not only be relevant in an era when our teams and our universities were all great here in the Pac-12.
And here's the thing.
And
is that
10 at the time.
He says, you know, you think about the good coaching that was in the Pac-10 at that time and then through the Pac-12. Look, Tony Bennett was at Washington State.
Yeah.
He's gotten Virginia to back-to-back number one overall seeds. Like,
yeah.
There's been great coaching, and they leave.
Do we need to gloss over the fact that he is a UCLA alum?
Who?
Sean.
No, yeah, he is. Yeah.
And that team just got a practice facility?
Yeah, right.
That was amazing to me.
Insane in the membrane. Ooh.
How do you not realize you're so far behind in the arms race?
And they fly Southwest. This is that we need to be fair. We live in this fair crap competition side on this coast, and you want to be fair? Well, you know what's fair? Losing is not fair.
No.
Losing to Dayton, losing to everybody that removes. Okay, I'm not going to go there. Sorry, he got me fired up. It was good. It's good. I felt that there was a kindred spirit together.
Let's regroup. Let's regroup because you are fired up right now.
I feel good. Feel good about it. Sean's great.
We're going good. All over, and we're going to regroup on that. This is a big question, and there's a great point on the Better You Today text line that we will get to next because he is dead on. We say it during college football season. It bears repeating during college basketball season. The Pac-12 is better when USC is good in football.
Yeah, he's right.
The Pac-12 is better when UCLA and Arizona are better in basketball.
Yep.
55305, Better You Today text line. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
Yippity-dee! Pac-12 after crap.
All right. Special thanks to Sean Farnham and his buddy Dave. What's up, Dave? Lives here in Portland. Good text on the Better You Today text line is something that Sean Farnham brought up. It's like UCLA and Arizona, when they are good at basketball, the conference is good at basketball. It's just a respect thing. It really is. It's a respect thing for the Pac-12. And this text says, if Gonzaga can do what they've done, it is absolutely pathetic
True. That
UCLA and Arizona have fallen off. Oh my God,
so true.
Because Gonzaga does, they charter, their facilities are top of the line.
Be ashamed of yourself.
Commitment to basketball. I didn't know UCLA just got a basketball facility.
Practice facility. They've had Pauley Pavilion for years.
Well, yes. they've had a home court played in. But that's another thing, Pauley Pavilion got old and they renovated it like 10 years ago.
And they fly what? They fly Southwest?
Southwest.
Remember we talked about revenues too? Where did UCLA rank in revenues for football just in their university last year?
They were almost last, I believe.
$33.4 million.
And well, their football program operated in the red. Negative $6 million.
There's just really no excuse. The cash flush coast that we live on here.
Yikes.
There's an insane amount of money on this coast. There's also insane amount of people that don't give a rat's backside.
There's this
about
text
sports.
That says Gonzaga doesn't have football. Okay, Gonzaga also gets a TV contract from the West Coast Conference, which is minuscule compared to what the Pac-12 gets for their football and basketball contract.
Did you see the $3 billion contract that the AAC got? Or the,
$1 billion.
Sorry, I meant $1 billion. I apologize.
$3 billion is Pac-12.
Right, $3 billion was, I was thinking the...
That's
the
Pac-12.
Well, I was still on the Angels because they got their $3 billion deal. Good. But they get $1 billion. Yeah.
It's a lot.
For us, a minuscule, tiny little conference, they'll end up getting more than the Pac-12 teams get.
Yeah, they will. But that is... Arizona, here's one of the things, though. UCLA has no excuse. They have no excuse. Zero. Zilch. Nada. They have too many cooks in the kitchen. Dan Guerrero, I personally don't think he's a good athletic director. Look how far all of their sports except for baseball and softball have fallen.
Sorry, okay. I don't think Chip Kelly's going to work out there. Just saying.
Yeah.
I just don't think so.
Well, Jim Mora didn't either.
Yeah, I know.
Nor did Rick Neuheisel.
When's the last time anybody
Carl
worked
Durrell.
There? Terry Donahue.
Yeah, probably. Bob Toledo didn't work out. He had a couple good years, didn't he? Yeah. Bob Toledo? I have no idea. But... that's one of the problems that this conference has is that Arizona's excuse, though, is what happened last year was devastating to their recruiting class. The DeAndre Ayton thing right before the NCAA tournament, their recruiting class just went gone. the Sean Miller, is he going to get fired as head coach? It's hurt them this year.
All the recruiting, Shaq's kids, all that that left UCLA.
No doubt about
Jump
that.
Jump ship. Well, see you later.
She wasn't Shaq's kid in Arizona.
I'm sorry, he left Arizona and then went to UCLA
and then has a heart condition issue. And he'll be on the roster next year. But these are all issues that the Pac, like now the Pac-12 is your two top programs are in disarray. You need somebody to step up and grab that mantle. Mm-hmm. And right now, Oregon missed the tournament last year. Nobody in the conference won a tournament game.
Dusty.
Here you go. You need to win.
But Dusty, think about this.
You play to win the game. As selfishly
as we, as you and I both are,
because
I live here.
Very selfish.
And Washington is in the dance. Mm-hmm. Guess who else is in the dance? Oregon.
Ducks.
Oregon Ducks are in the dance. And ASU, that's they're in the playing game. I believe they will win, but they'll do that again.
Yeah.
In football, who are the two best teams in the conference right now?
Washington and Oregon are right now.
The top hat.
Yeah.
Okay, the top hat in the Northwest. Maybe there is a power shift. Everyone wants to say that. But yes, for basketball, UCLA and Arizona need to be relevant. And in football, USC needs to be relevant. Oregon is going to be relevant. Washington's mm-hmm. going to be relevant. But there needs to be more investment.
Yep.
More.
Well, in this one says Gonzaga has one sport. UCLA is in Cali, which is more expensive and has to fund a lot more. But here, okay.
The money
now,
in
here's
California
the excuse.
Is insane.
I hate the Pac-12s. Like Farnham said, the Conference of Champions in sports nobody cares about. The Pac-12 distributes all of this money so evenly mm-hmm. that it does affect the bottom line of football and basketball way more. Like, don't sit there and say Gonzaga has one sport and UCLA's in Cali and more expensive and have to fund all their other sports. It's the revenues that come in are insane at UCLA compared to Gonzaga. They can fund all of them and put more money into football and basketball. Mm-hmm. They don't because they want a good baseball. Pac-12 wants this good baseball, good softball, good track and field, good gymnastics, whatever, which is great. It is great. Don't get me wrong. But it's why the conference falls behind because the SEC doesn't do that. Big Ten, ACC don't do that.
And I don't think, too, I believe this, it's not just a money investment. It has to be an emotional and shift, almost like a paradigm shift of who we are. And that will take time. And this text says, this one said from Freightliner Philly, said, great interview, great job, guys. This is exactly what we need to hear every day until we finally get PO'd and do something about
it. Hey, can you send that to Ed Ray?
Yeah.
Buck, send that to Ed Ray.
You think Ed Ray really cares about athletics? I mean, come on. I know I'm jumping on the Ed Ray train. Do you really think Ed Ray, deep down to his core, cares about Oregon State athletics?
When they win. That's it. I'm being honest. I think he only cares like when Oregon State wins the title.
I hold my silence because I don't think it's a question.
Yeah.
He doesn't. I don't think there's a lot of teams and there's a lot of people that live here care about athletics. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say that's okay. You want to have balance? Okay.
Well, and it's an interesting question that was brought up too about the talent in the Pac-12. There isn't less talent than ever. There's actually more talent than ever on the West Coast. I think that's the next one is that
just bad leadership.
The excuses are way too often for this Pac-12 conference. We'll get to some of that in your feedback next. Dustin Cam on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.